I swiped my wife's parallel Bible out of her office tonight, and I'll put it back. But it's like brand new. And I have a habit of coloring anything, so I'm not going to mess with that at all. And I read this the other day, but I realized that going through some things, and I thought, you know, I started this message a few weeks ago. In fact, I don't know if I put a date on it, but I only covered about half of it, and I didn't go back and do the other half. And the other day when I was looking at this, this scripture, it reminded me of this. And Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 is certainly very familiar. I'll turn over to the King James version of it too. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I read this from the Message translation. And how many of you use the Message translation from time to time? It's a fun translation. You really get some good things out of it. But like every translation, you need to rightly divide the word of truth on it. But here this one does a pretty neat job. Matthew 11:28 says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And what I started talking about a few weeks ago is relieving the pressure. Because life, if you don't watch it, life can build up pressures on you. And it's enough to have pressure out there on the job or in maybe the home and all the things you have to deal with. You know, when the Word talks about the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things entering in, the cares of this life don't mean all just bad, horrible things like that. It just means cares of this life, things you have to deal with. You know, there are times you get up in the morning, there are some people sometimes when they get up in the morning, they have things they really don't have to deal with that day, but they got to deal with it because, you know, it's not going to go away. And if you ignore it, it just gets bigger. It doesn't disappear. All right. So pressures can build up and all the thing. Now, it's enough to have that be a pressure on you. Then if you have religious pressure on you, it's the worst that there is because there's always more condemnation with religious pressure than is any other kind. And so you have to learn, when he said there, come to me. You know, the cross really did make a difference. You know, we have to watch out because sometimes if you don't watch out, you forget. Wait a minute. No, the cross made all the difference in that. That changed everything. And when you get that in you, you realize, yes, it did make total and complete difference. So when he said, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, it really does mean that. You know, we're supposed to cast all care upon him. And that's not as a law. It's as a privilege and as a blessing to simply not have to handle everything yourself. Because I don't know about you. I don't even confess to have it all together. I know the one who does. And anytime I need help, and that's all the time, I cast all that care upon him. So we're looking about relieving the pressure. Because when things build up, well, it's got to go somewhere. Come on now. It has, you know, when you get to the situations in life and you're having to... Brother Osteen, I used to laugh at him, John Osteen, years ago. He said, you know, we'd be on our way to church. And he said... You know, and at that time, their church was still a pretty good size, and I heard him say this, but he said, you know, me and Dodie be on the way to church, and he said the kids were small, but the church was still 1,500, 2,000 people, you know, at that size. And he said, you know, we'd be riding on our way to church, preparing to preach that day. He said, praying in the Holy Ghost and beating the kids. Praying in the Holy Ghost, beating the kids. And I thought, yeah, that's been a lie for a lot of, you know, because things go on. You know, you got two kids in the back, don't touch me, you know. And then you say something really intelligent like, I don't want anybody touching anybody for the rest of their lives, you know, that faster. But you have to do it, and pressure comes. We have a way to relieve that pressure. Okay? But guess, I mean, think about it. How many times have you caught yourself not relieving the pressure, but letting it pop off? Okay? Now, years ago, Carmen, those of you who listen, is Carmen still singing? Is it? I'm not a music friend, but Carmen had this song that said, some people say let it out, some people say keep it in, but Jesus said crucify it, for that thing there is sin. Well, whatever misses the mark is sin. So you got to crucify. You can't just, well, this is my way of handling it. Well, if you know, say your way of handling it is letting it all out on everybody. That ain't good. Everybody don't want it let all out on them. Have you noticed that? Well, my way is to keep it in. Oh, that's not good either. Because that builds up stuff like high blood pressure and, you know, all of that stuff. What is the best way? Cast the care of it. You have a Savior. He who's given us a way out of... You say, well, it's a lot easier said than done. I didn't say it wasn't. But I said it can be done. And it has to be made a habit. You know, how many times have you caught yourself 3/4 of the way into something like that saying, what am I doing? Why? You know, kind of like we said when somebody said we were talking about a deal with them and we said, well, we need to pray about it. And one of the guys said, you mean it's come to that? Sometimes you can catch yourself all of a sudden right in the middle. In fact, Wesley Lighty was telling me the other day, came up here, told me, he said he was praying over this that oil thing. And that the oil leak out in the ocean out there. And he said, the Lord told him, I think he said something about, I wonder, when are they going to find a way to fix this? You know, Lord, why hadn't they found a way to get this fixed? And he said, the Lord just spoke to his heart and said, they hadn't asked me. Well, that's probably the truth. And I said, I've been praying, Lord, show somebody how to get that thing stopped. You know, put your wisdom in that thing, whether they're these very highly intelligent people are asking or not, show them how to fix it. But in a lot of times in situations, if we don't watch out, we just let them build and we forget we have a Savior. I mean, you want to say, I don't ever do that, but yes, we do. So you have to remind yourself, all right? We have a way. We are not left to ourselves. We are not on our own. We don't have to do that. That's why He said, come to me. Come to me. And you just simply, like everything else, you have to remind yourself. Make a habit of it. Wait a minute, Lord. You know, I'm going to cast all my care upon you. That was 1 Peter 5:7. I dealt with that. Philippians 4:6-7 said, be anxious or careful for nothing. Is that easier said than done? Yes, it is. But we have the mind of Christ. We can remember to do this. And we can remember to do it without feeling guilty when we don't. Because, see, when you forget to do it, then you remember, then here comes you-know-who right back here saying, but I was using any kind of a Christian at all. If you really believe this, it wouldn't have taken you 6 hours to cast the care of that over on Jesus. You really don't believe it. That's not God. He's not the one talking. That's the devil trying to get you to feel guilty about not doing it so you won't do it. Y'all looking at me so innocent. Does that not happen to you? It happens to me all the time. But I just got where I don't wear condemnation real well. I just let it slip off. Why? Because His mercy and His grace is enough, okay? So, get ready when the pressure comes. I'm going to get into this here in just a minute. But casting all care upon them. All right. When it comes to a situation that builds up, Somewhere or another, you're about to relieve the pressure. You know, some people run and hide. Some people break loose. Some people do this. Some people do that. You have to make it a habit in your life to deliberately use the weapons that you've been given. Okay, that's where I'm getting to. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Now, we've always, in fact, what is it, 2 Corinthians 10, is that right? Yeah, 2 Corinthians 10. I'm going to pull this up here, too. All right, 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, or verse 3, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, just for a second here, remind yourself of this. Because, you know, growing up in church, a lot of this stuff that we see in the Word of God, we were told not to ask. I mean, when it came to the gifts of the Spirit and the weapons and things like that, you know, I don't know. It was kind of like we were kind of like the Jewish people that we didn't want to say all of God's name. You know, like they didn't want to say his whole name. So they took him out and they just called him Yahweh. You know, well, we kind of like, oh, brother, you don't want to ask that now. That's a little too deep. That's getting into the deep things of God. It's stuff we didn't know about and we just didn't ask. Okay? Because the weapon. If somebody gives you a weapon, the worst thing they can do is give you one, not teach you how to use it. Okay? Well, the Lord didn't do that. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Now, here's the way we most of the time looked at that. Oh, the weapons of our warfare are not natural, brother. They're spiritual. But see, what we forgot, the other half of that, is that, yes, they are not natural. They are spiritual. But they're also not naturally applied. Now, they're physically applied, a lot of them, but they're not naturally applied. Okay? And that's what we've been trying to do. How many times have you prayed out of fear? Okay, that's not the way to apply. What am I supposed to do? Well, you're supposed to let the perfect love of God cast out the fear. It's getting in His presence. But if you start praying in fear, I mean, it sounds like some strange praying. If you and you know what I'm talking about, you've gotten there sometimes, you just, oh, dear God, if you, no, it doesn't help. There's no faith in it. So you have that. These weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to do what? Pulling down strongholds. Then it says casting down imaginations or reasoning. And then it says in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge or what God says, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. All right? So when you take these weapons, you have to let the Spirit activate them. You know, even when you're praying in tongues, you know, you pray in tongues in your physical being. But you've got to remember to activate that spiritually. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I mean, you can, a lot of times you can just pray in tongues, be praying in tongues. Don't get me wrong, that's good. But just to do it as a natural exercise is not a good thing. Because the Bible says you can build yourself up on your most holy faith praying in the Holy Ghost. Why do I want to pray in other tongues? Well, because the Bible says to. Yeah, but there's more to it than that. When you understand the authority of the believer, when you understand that God put the authority in flesh and blood man, all right, you have the authority in this earth because God made earth for man. All right. Now, when you get a flesh and blood man praying the perfect will of God out of his mouth and believing it, then you've got God able to say what He wants to over those situations out there. Instead of you in the natural sometimes getting under pressure and saying stuff like, oh dear God, if you don't do something, we don't know what's going to happen. When you're the one that is the representative, we're supposed to be using those weapons. Well, you activate those weapons that talked about the rhythms of grace by using God's willingness to use His power on your behalf. When you're praying, you can let that pressure off. Because you don't, sometimes we don't know what to pray for as we ought to pray. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us, right? Which groanings which cannot be. be uttered in articulate speech. And so when he says to do that, that's how we are activating, applying, or using the weapons that are not carnal. We know they're not carnal, but we're not even activating them carnally. We're activating them by the Spirit. When you're walking into a situation and the Spirit of the Lord just says something to you about, look this way, do this thing, say this, do this, whatever. Those little subtle things. And you think, oh, that doesn't mean anything. It means everything. Because the weapons that you're using are not carnal. It doesn't take but one word spoken at the right time to be something that breaks somebody loose in the thing. And you think, oh, well, I didn't do anything. You can't say that. Because the weapons that you're using are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And all, you know, you could, Lord put you in the right place at the right time to say the right thing to the right person, and everything changed. And so we always look at it like something big has to be done. Something big was done. Why? Because you activated those weapons. Whatever it was, praying, loving, what you know, all the things, speaking the word at the right time. You think, where did that come from? Well, so you didn't, while it naturally came from you, it came from the Spirit, and it wasn't something, well, let's say I need to come up with something to say to them. No. It came. It's the same thing. That's how you relieve the pressure in your life. It's not, well, I've got to get, you know, if I just read another chapter. No, that's not it. It's hearing from God. It's just walking and talking with the Lord every day. Knowing that He hears you every day. Knowing that He talks to you every day. We hear Him every day of our life. The stranger's voice, we will not follow. And so, brother, but that doesn't happen to me. I said, a stranger's voice, we will not follow. I know it says that, but no but about it. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They relieve the pressure. So we do hear the voice of the Lord. A friend of mine told me that one day. He said, I heard you say that for years. And he said, every time I'd hear you say that, I'd say, but Lord, I don't hear you like that. And he said, I'd go around. Every time I'd hear you preach that, he said, I'd still say, Lord, I don't understand. I want to hear you like Butch is talking about. I want to hear. I don't hear your voice. And finally, he said one day when I preached it, he said, oh, I get it now. He said, Lord, I thank you. I hear the voice of the shepherd and a stranger's voice I will not follow. And he said, when I started saying that instead of saying the other, that weapon right there brought about that victory in my life. And he said, now I hear the voice of the Lord. See, the weapons that we have are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold. God has given you and me enough to overcome all the things in our life. Since your sins and your lawless deeds are not remembered anymore, you can activate the power of the words by simply talking to the mountain, whatever God says for your heart. You know, when you know God loves you and you know that whatever you set your hand to prospers, you know, the devil's going to come and remind you what's going on right now. You know, you want to remind him what's going to happen to him later. Right? What's already happened to him. But the thing is, the way to relieve that pressure is not to try to handle it yourself. I just got to make it go away. I've got to make it go away. No, that's not what does it. It's casting all care upon him because he cares for you. Okay? All right. Now, Philippians chapter 3, I don't have time to read all these like I was going to because if I do, we'll run out of time. But look at Philippians chapter 3. Okay, I got to read this one, man. I got to. Philippians 3 and 10. In fact, I'm going to back up to 8 here. The apostle saying, this is the Message translation. He says, so here I am, preaching and writing about things that are way over my head. The inexhaustible riches and generosity of Christ. My task is to bring out into the open and make plain what God, who created all this in the first place, has been doing in secret behind the scenes all along. Through Christians like yourselves gathered in churches, this extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and talked about even among the angels. All this is proceeding along lines planned all along by God and then executed in Jesus Christ. When we trust in Him, we're free to say whatever needs to be said, bold to go wherever we need to go, so don't let any person trouble you on behalf or get you down. And then he says, be proud. Well, in, I got that one too. I don't have time to do that one. Oh, man, I told you to go to Philippians. I went to Ephesians. Ooh. We'll cover that next time. Let me go to Philippians. We'll cover that next time. It's just too big to eat, okay? Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Here it says this. I give up all that inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally, experience His resurrection power, be a partner in His sufferings, and go all the way with Him to death itself. If there was any way to get in on the resurrection from the dead, I wanted to do it. That I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. And what we never understood was we thought we were supposed to suffer with Him. Now, don't get me wrong. You're going to suffer in this life. Not maybe like they did back there whenever they were getting killed for believing. But you're going to suffer some things. But, you know, just count them all, whatever. But the true fellowship, that word fellowship, is partnership. That's what that word means. What is the fellowship of Jesus' suffering? What is my part in His suffering? All right? Think about what is my part in His, by His stripes? What's my part? I was healed. He made Him to be sin for me who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He became poor that I might become rich. There's my part in His suffering. When I understand that's the partnership of the fellowship, that He did this for me, then I can let the pressure off. What about this sickness I'm dealing with and this pain and everything else? Wait a minute. By His stripes, I was healed. See, what religion has done for so long is, well, that's just my part to suffer with Jesus. And so we kept that instead of understanding. No, He took the stripes on His back for that. All of these things are to help us relieve the pressure. When you get into a situation that you can't get out of, He makes a way where there is no way. I mean, I had one the other day. I don't take time to explain to you. I saw in the natural no way out at that moment. It wasn't a huge thing, but it was big enough to try to build pressure on me. And when I looked at that thing, I thought, Lord. And you know, actually, it took me. Well, you don't even know how long it took me. But it took me longer than it should have to get my mind wrapped around that and use the weapons of my warfare. When I finally got a hold of it and said, you know, sometimes you kind of run through all the stuff that you can do yourself. Okay, I do. Maybe you don't, but I have done that. Run through all the stuff I could do and handle myself, and I realized I didn't have an answer. I couldn't do this. And so I said, Lord, I am so sorry. I have been trying to handle this myself, and I have come to the point where I realize I can't do this. So I'm just going to roll the care of this over on you. I refuse. That, if you don't know that to refuse is a weapon, you've missed it. Because you need to use refuse as a weapon. I refuse to handle this. I refuse to fold up. I refuse to blow up. I refuse to let this go. You got to refuse. That's what binding and loosing can mean. You either permit or refrain. Okay? You don't let it happen. So you just have to refuse sometimes. And so I refuse to let this worry me. Did it try again? Oh, I don't know, maybe 1,200 times in the next hour or two. You know? What did I have to do? I had to cast down. Imagine I had to use the weapon and say, no, Lord, I am so thankful that I am not going to worry about this because I handed this to you. I trust you. You love me. As much as you love me, I know you're going to do this for me. Because that's what you told me. And I want you to know. Yeah, this sounds so ridiculous. I'm so embarrassed about it. But anyway, I'm going to share it with you. I hate to have to do this. I went through this for hours. And finally, I went someplace, I don't remember what it was, and I reached into my pocket and pulled out the thing that had given me the information that I was not wanting. And when I looked at it again, I had read it wrong. I had read it wrong. Does that make sense to you? I started laughing. I thought, you got to be kidding me. I felt like Jesse the Plantist that night. He was laying in that bed and he was binding and loosing that devil over in his room. You remember that story? If you didn't heard that, Jesse was preaching one night. He went to bed and he was laying there. He looked over and he saw something moving in the corner. He said, it's a devil come to torment me. So he started binding that devil and loosing that devil. And all night long, he said he'd wake up, he'd go to sleep. He'd wake up and that devil's still over in that corner. And he'd bind it and he'd loose it. He said, all night long. He said, I did it. Finally, he said, it started getting light. I looked over and he said, it was my shirt that I hung on a rack right under a vent. And the vent was making that shirt move. And he said, I'd been binding and loosening that shirt all night long from some devil trying to keep me awake. And he said, now, you know, you got to know that Jesse and Jesus have a different relationship. You know, with Jesse, you got to. But he said, Lord, why didn't you tell me that was my shirt? Why did you let me? And he said, the Lord just said, but Jesse, you look so funny. I felt kind of the same way when I looked at the thing and realized I'd read it long. I thought, I was just thankful that I hadn't let it worry me anymore. You know, because I really felt like a fool then. We have been given the weapons to cast the care, to not worry. You say, well, that doesn't always work for me. Well, it always works. I don't always use it. And that's what I'm learning to do all the time. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're also not activated carnally. They're activated by the response of the Holy Spirit reminding you to do that. If you have to come up with it on your own to remember it, then there's not going to be the power there anyway. You know, you'll have the condemnation on you. I should have done this. I should have done that. Oh, forget it. The Lord is faithful. So every time you get into that situation, He'll simply remind you. I mean, I'm not going back to that scripture in Ephesians. I don't have time. It was so good. Okay, let's do. All right. Go back over Ephesians. Did I read Philippians in there? Ephesians 3. Now here's what it says in the King James. Unto me who am less than least of all saints is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make all men see what is the fellowship of this mystery, or my partnership in this, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God who created all things in Christ Jesus. What? To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. See, it's time using His weapons. The same way that the devil saw Jesus and said, we know who you are. We command you by God that you torment us not. Have you? you come to torment us before the time? Because they knew he was God. But what they didn't count on was that he was all man. See, because they knew it wasn't God's time to take over, but they had forgotten that it's man's time to rule in this earth. Jesus, as a man, empowered with the weapons of the warfare, just simply scattered them every time. So in every situation, every little old demon that comes along is going to try to build up pressure in your life of some kind. Whether it's religious pressure, you're not doing enough, you're not reading enough, you're not praying enough, you're not blah, blah, blah. Or whether it's the stuff out there in the world. It's to build up that pressure. What does pressure do? Here's the simplest thing about it. It removes the peace. And if the peace isn't there, you can't operate. Because faith is not operated in turmoil. Faith is operated in peace. It works by love. So all of that is to get the peace out of your life. That's why Jesus said, take no thought saying, or take no anxious thought. Refuse to do it. Refuse to let the guilt, condemnation, whatever get on you. Cast it down. Now, even if it's your fault, don't take it. Because Jesus has already paid the price for that too. It's okay to laugh at yourself. You know, when you catch yourself doing those things. But do not take the guilt of it. Well, I deserve this. No, you don't. Not unless Jesus didn't go to the cross for all that. You don't deserve it. See, we have this thing that the devil tries to remind you. You got you into this. You're going to have to get you out. No. That is not the way it works. Casting all care upon Him. He cares for us. That's a weapon. Don't you know that just irritates the devil to no end? To see me and you using the weapons of our warfare that are not carnal, but mighty through God. It's only those weapons that can pull down those thoughts. It's only those weapons that can relieve the pressure. Well, I'll just count to 10. Sometimes you don't get that far. You blow up before 10. Or this. No, that's not. These weapons come from in here. They come from the grace of God. How do I get to use them? By the grace of God. By God's mercy and God's grace, that's why I get to use those. And there is not one of them that can be defeated by anything the devil has. There's no lie. There's no trick. There's no guilt. There's no nothing that can make you, can saddle you with that stuff when you simply said, no, wait a minute. I'm going to relieve the pressure here. Life should be a press. It is a press, but it shouldn't be a struggle. Okay? I mean, we're not just going to go along carefree every day because there's a world out there going to hell. Mountains need to be moved. Things need to be changed. And you're it. You're the one out there loving on people. You're the one out there moving that mountain, stopping that devil, doing that thing. You're the one, but you're not out there on your own. The weapons, you didn't come up with it. You know, the Lord's shown you your own way, I'm sure. But the weapons are all His. And they've been given to us, and they work. You know, as you sit here and you think, well, what are the weapons? I don't know. What all has the Lord given you? Sometimes for some, when you found your own way, certainly, you know, praying, believing, receiving, declaring, all the things that the Word talks about. But for every one of us as an individual, the Lord's shown you your way to deal with a situation or whatever by the Spirit. You may not do it like so-and-so does it, but you still do it the way the Lord showed you. And when you use that, it works. When you start trying to do something that's not yours, you end up with that Sons of Sceva thing, remember? When they tried to cast those devils out of that guy, and that guy said, I command you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out of him. And the devil said, well, now Jesus we know and Paul we know. Who are you? It didn't work. That's why Charles Capps always said you can lose your britches operating on somebody else's revelation. But when you get your revelation on those weapons, this is how you do it. You know. If you're a morning prayer, an evening prayer, an all-day prayer, whatever, that's how the Lord works with you. And it works. You are equipped Well, I just don't have it.
Yes, you do.
You know, when you hear Christians, well, Brother Butch, I just don't have the faith that you have. That is not the truth. The faith, any faith that I have came from Jesus. You get it at the same place. Well, yes, you built it up. No, 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 I didn't build it up. He is the author and the developer of our faith. If it gets built up, it's because He did it. That's why it's available to everybody. He made this a level playing field. Some people activate it more. Some people operate in it more. But the more you learn, the more you get to stand together. I got to quit. Years ago, I saw a gentleman. And I didn't really realize how much religion I was into till I saw this. And he was wanting something to not happen. And so I could hear him. We were in a deal together. And I could hear him over and over and over and over reciting this same verse. And that's all he just kept saying. Over and over and over and over and over and over. And you know, and you first think, okay, well, getting that in him. You know, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But then when I talked to him, one of the first words out of his mouth was, well, I'm afraid that this is going to happen, so that's why I'm doing this. And I thought, that's not the way it works. You know, the weapons of our warfare aren't activated carnally. You do it by believing. So when the Lord unctions you by the Holy Ghost, when that first thing starts trying to build pressure on you or something, what do you do with it? What are you going to do with it? Right there. What did the Lord say do with it? With that thought the devil brought, that pain, that whatever, what do you do with it right then? Do not let it build the pressure on it. Use the whatever weapon you know to use at that time because you are, again, you are well equipped. The only thing the devil's trying to get you to do is say, I don't know. I just don't know what I'm going to do. I'm at my wit's end. Blah, blah, and all those other famous sayings instead of using the weapon that you've been given at that time. Whatever that word is. Whatever that action is. When you activate that, you cast down the imaginations and every high thing. Everything that comes at you that is against what this word says about you, do not receive it. You are a free, blessed, full of grace, full of love people. Amen. The world is excited. They're needing you. They're wanting you. That's why the devil tries so hard to get all this junk on you. So guess who you'll think about? Yourself. That's why he tries that. Why? Because you are the light of the world. That's what Jesus said. When he said, you're it. I'm going away. I'm giving you my Holy Spirit. Now take these weapons. Go out there and do it. You're a good group. You do what the Lord says, and it works. We've learned not to depend on us, but depend on Him. Amen? Amen. Don't know if there are any announcements, because I'm not the announcement person. So, let's pray we're going to be dismissed, and then somebody's, who's handling the, it's Miss Susie. Miss Susie in charge of the Sundays on Wednesday. We're going to give you a few minutes, so we'll stand around and visit while y'all are getting set up with the ice cream and all that stuff, and then we'll all eat, and everybody will be in here. Okay? Father, we thank you this night. Your word says there is no temptation, test, trial, or tribulation that's taken us, but such as is common to man. And it says you are faithful. You will not allow us to be tempted above that we are able. And we realize that's the scripture where people say, God, I'm not putting more on you what you can handle, but we know that's not what it says. You said Satan is limited to what is common to man. We are loosed to use the weapons that are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Nothing can overcome the power of your word, your love, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you this night for the opportunity to be here. Enjoy each other. We love you. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.